Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Roll call for Tuesday, February the 8th. Anderson?
Here.
Allman?
Here.
Barrasso?
Here.
Boggs?
Here.
Burns?
Here.
Case?
Here.
Coe?
Here.
Cooper?
Here.
DeCaria?
Here.
Geis?
Here.
Haynes?
Here.
Hawks?
Here.
Hines?
Here.
Jennings?
Here.
Joe?
Here.
Johnson?
Here.
Massey?
Here.
Meyer?
Here.
Mockler?
Here.
Nicholas?
Here.
Northrup?
Here.
Peck?
Here.
Ross?
Here.
Schiffer? Scott,
here.
Sessions,
here.
Townsend,
here.
Vasey,
here.
Von Flatern,
here.
President Larson,
here.
30 present.
Prayer by Father Crunkleton.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, remember us and guide us on this last day for second readings of bills and resolutions originating here in the Senate. As we debate, amend, and vote on the actions before this body, keep us mindful of the lofty goals with which we began this session, not to be old school or new school, but to do what is needed for the people of this state here and now, and to find the ways to build upon the dreams and the visions of those who have led this state in the past, so that we can provide an even brighter future for tomorrow. Give us a continuing spirit of cooperation and determination, combined with understanding and prudence, so that we can creatively do what is right and just for the people we have been called to serve. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Amen. Please join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Reading, correction, and approval of the journal. Will the reading clerk please read the journal committee report?
Mr. President, your journal committee reports that the journal of February the 7th, 2005, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Johnson, chairman.
Are there any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. The doctor for today, I don't see, but it is Dr. Ronald Healy, M.D. of Cheyenne. And the nurses for the day are, again, Bev Jensen and Peggy Besenson from the State Hospital. They were here yesterday, and they will be our nurses for the day again today. Our thought for the day. If you find yourself in a hole, the first thing to do is stop digging. Fellow senators, we have some special guests with us here today over on the wall to my right. I'd like to introduce them at this time. We have, and as I read your name, if you would stand, please, gentlemen. We have Kent Briggs, who is the Executive Director of CSG West. Kent, I think, is in Sacramento, based out of Sacramento, but he is the representation, the Executive Director for all CSG West. I think now appointed most of the committees for CSG meetings, CSG West. So you will be receiving that list before very long. I think it's a good organization. They work well with Wyoming and have, even though Kent's used to be in Colorado, but now he's moved out there to Neverland, but they do a good job working with. They have meetings, conventions, and are a good source of information. The next gentleman is State Senator Ron Tech of Colorado. Ron is a state senator in Colorado. He is also will be the incoming president of the CSG West. Known Ron for a little while, met him in Alaska. He's been active on many things to do with the West, and he will be the incoming president after this particular time. Also with CSG West is our own Rich Lindsay, who serves as a coordinator for Wyoming with CSG West, which doesn't give him a whole lot of fame and notoriety, but I'm sure you all know that he is the husband of Mary Burns, whom we couldn't get along without. Rich, last year, I told him he was talking about where he lives and so on, and I told him, I says, I'm pretty ambivalent about whether you stay or go, but don't you dare take Mary. But gentlemen, we're very, very happy to have you with us, and I recommend, as you get your committee appointments, that you participate in CSG West. We are participating a legislature without that, and that with CSG West. Now, in addition, we're also very pleased to have, it's kind of a coincidence we're here at the same time, but we have from ALEC, American Legislative Exchange Council, the membership liaison for Wyoming, Mr. Chris Krueger. And he represents ALEC, another organization. Many of us have been to some of their meetings that they have early for some legislators. I think that's the first meeting I ever went to was the ALEC meeting in Washington, and you know the kind of good information they have. So if you would, Senators, please join me in welcoming these gentlemen to the Senate. We're pleased to have you come and visit us. You provide us with a lot of good information, have a lot of wonderful conferences and meetings. Messages from the House.
February the 7th from the House of Representatives. Committee of the Whole indefinitely postponed. Mr. President, the House adopted the Committee of the Whole report failing the bill listed below by the vote indicated. House Bill 343, Pipeline and Utility Location 2. Ayes 23, noes 34, excused 3. Gerald W. Fox, House Chief Clerk.
House bills on first reading. House Bill 152, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 152, Interstate Compact for Arrest of Fugitives, repeal, sponsored by Representative Gingery, an act relating to criminal procedure. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 59, no 0, excused 1.
House Bill 152 is assigned to Committee number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 22, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 22, Sexual Assault Examination, sponsored by Representative Peterson, an act relating to forensic sexual assault examination. Passed the House on an amended form on third reading, ayes 57, no 0, excused 3.
House Bill number 22 is assigned to Committee number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 196, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 196, Divorce Actions, Parenting Classes, sponsored by Representative Eichel, an act relating to child custody and visitation resulting from divorce or custody modification proceedings. Passed the House on an amended form on third reading. Ayes 32, noes 27, excused 1.
House Bill number 196 is assigned to Committee number 1, Judiciary. House Bill 228, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 228, School Finance Model Recalibration, sponsored by Representative Wasserberger, an act relating to school finance. Passed the House in an amended form On third reading, ayes 59, no 0, excused 1.
House Bill number 228 is assigned to committee number 4, Education. House Bill 165, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 165, Open Meeting Law, sponsored by Representative Simpson, and Act Relating to Open Meetings, passed the House on third reading in an amended form, ayes 50, noes 1, excused 1.
House Bill number 165 is assigned to committee number 7, Corporations. House Bill 193, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 193, Wyoming Real Estate Commission Amendment, sponsored by Representative Morgan, and Act Relating to Real Estate Brokers and Salesmen. It passed the House on an amended form on third reading, ayes 59, no 0, excused 1.
House Bill number 193 is assigned to committee number 9, Minerals. House Bill 293, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 293, Illegal Drug Manufacturing Precursor Chemicals, sponsored by Representative Harvey, and Act Relating to Controlled Substances, passed the House in amended form on third reading, ayes 53, no 6, excused 1.
House Bill number 293 is assigned to committee number 10, Labor. House Bill number 233, first reading of the House Bill.
House Bill number 233, Hospitals, Liability Coverage, sponsored by Representative Brown, and Act Relating to County Memorial Hospitals and Hospital Districts, passed the House on third reading in amended form, ayes 56, noes 1, excused 1.
House Bill number 233 is assigned to committee number 7, Corporations. I changed that on you. Bills on second reading. Senate File 71, second reading of the Senate File.
Senate File 71, Wyoming Community Facilities Program, sponsored by Senator Ross.
We do have an amendment. The reading clerk will read the amendment.
Senate File 71, second reading amendment number 1, page 2, line 7.
The case amendment, Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'd like to move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 71. Mr. President, this is the bill that deals with community facilities. We had quite a discussion about this yesterday, and I mentioned to the body that I was going to be bringing an amendment to limit this bill to really get at the area of abandoned or no longer needed school facilities that I think are so important to the small communities and large communities, too, across Wyoming. Sometimes it's the only place where community functions are held. And I mentioned that I've been to many funerals in Hudson, Wyoming, in the school gym, because that's the biggest place and the only place where the community can gather. But, Mr. President, the bill as proposed goes way too far. It's a expanded version of the Business Ready Communities program that the Business Council has under its jurisdiction. And, Mr. President, we have a through our budget, we're actually expanding the business-ready communities, and I think we're still trying to feel out how that program is going to work. Because business-ready communities, Mr. President, was expanded last year, and as you know, there's been a little quite hot discussion about some of the things that have been funded with that program. And in fact, Mr. President, a couple of the things that were proposed by the Business Council to be funded have actually been turned down now by the five elected officials as the SLIB board. So, Mr. President, I think we have to just think a little bit before we expand that program. Let's take this program that deals with the changing dynamics of our school system and puts community facilities at risk, and let's make that happen. And this is, I think, more in line with the governor's mention, Mr. President, or the governor's speech, Mr. President, when he discussed his vision of a community facilities program for schools. So very quickly through the amendment on page 2. Bless you, Senator Ross. Lines 7 through 11, that purpose clause is stricken, and that's a very broad purpose clause that talks about economic development and all sorts of things, and we substitute, it is the purpose of this article to assist communities to preserve former school and government facilities that have existing or future community uses. Very narrow purpose, Mr. President, but that's what I'm trying to do. On page 4, where it actually gets about what the program can be used for, it now changes all those articles. It eliminates the idea of new construction. It does indeed support and provide for the expansion, renovation, or remodeling of existing, but I've added the words, surplus government facilities. It strikes lines 6 through 12, which is about acquisition of land, development of infrastructure, all sorts of things there. It modifies line 14, which starts out by saying the construction of, it takes out those words and says, purchase of an interest in or cooperative agreements for the expansion, renovation, or conversion of school facilities to extent the facilities exceed statewide school building and facility standards. Mr. Chairman, and Mr. President, it does one more thing. We also had a discussion about this yesterday. On page 8 of the bill, line 9, where yesterday's language said the State Loan and Investment Board may adopt rules. This changes that may to a shall. Be happy to answer any questions, Mr. President. I think that explains it.
Further discussion on the amendment. Senator Ross.
Mr. Chairman, I would like to divide the amendment. First division being lines 1 through
21 of the amendment, and the second division being lines 23.
Mr. Chair rules that is divisible. Which portion would you like to discuss first?
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to... Sorry. Never mind. Mr. President, I would like to discuss the first part, the first division, lines 1 through 21.
Okay,
first.
That will be section 1. The other will be section 2. Discussion on section 1.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and against this portion of the amendment, folks, I will tell you that Senate File 71 was developed in cooperation with the governor, and I believe the governor supports the bill as it is. I suggest to you that basically what we're doing is gutting this bill and moving it back solely to school facilities. I understand the intention of the sponsor, but I believe that the better way to handle this is to provide a broader framework in which to work, a broader framework in which to allow for our communities to be to develop and to enhance the attractiveness of those communities as a place to live. That last phrase that I just gave you is language on page 2, lines 10 and 11, which would be stricken from this bill if you accept this amendment. In addition, it strikes out new construction. And I suggest to you that we need to be able to start looking at new construction and new facilities to enhance the livability of our communities, to enhance those facilities that we all know go hand in hand with not only economic development, but the quality of life issues that each of our communities is attempting to address to make it better places to live. I suggest to you that this amendment, in essence, will take us on the wrong track and restrict what many communities are looking forward to with this bill to enhance their attractiveness and their quality of life issues. So on this portion of the amendment, I urge you to defeat this portion of the amendment.
Further discussion on the first part of the amendment. Senator Mockler.
Thank you, Mr. President. Speaking on and for this part of the amendment, and partly just out of practicality, if you look around this state and look at some of the schools that we're abandoning or we're leaving our communities without the resources they've traditionally used, and then you start factoring in how much money we're putting in this bill and how much money it's really going to take to refurbish and to bring up to code a lot of these buildings, there is no way on earth that if you spread this program so thinly that everyone in the state can come in for every idea for a community enhancement, that we'll actually accomplish our goal. I think we ought to look at things one at a time. One is we have a problem with the old schools and these smaller communities that have been so dependent on the auditoriums and the gyms and the swimming pools. And I think we have an obligation somehow to go back in there and try and look at that. Just as an estimate, the gym that we're abandoning in Cheyenne is over $5 million to fix this gym, to bring it back up. When the last estimate came in, it was about $5 million to bring it up to a real community facility by the time they transfer the title, by the time they do all that. And that number was the original number. It may not be there now, but I can bet this isn't cheap. And if it were cheap, we would have fixed all these schools and not built new ones. So I think you sort of start with the schools, and then later as we move forward and we find out that we've taken care of that, we can look at expanding it to building new community centers.
For the discussion on the first part of the amendment, Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and against the First Amendment, ladies and gentlemen, when you start looking at these new programs, what they really are is our promise to communities to redistribute on a one-time basis part of the wealth that we're seeing. We've always been reluctant, since those of us who went through the de-earmarking process, to say simply, here are your revenues and here are your resources, go ahead and build the size of government. But what we have said is that while we're taking a look at one-time projects, you can do the same, and here's a fund for it. So the issue then is, how do you distribute those resources? Do you just simply say, part of the reason, one mechanism is to say, here are the source of funds for these purposes. And frankly, we want the SLIP board to start looking at communities, and the communities that have taxed themselves, have explored all their options, generally have a better access to funds than those that don't need as much, and that way we can spread our dollars to those that need it. If you say that all we're going to do is allow you to use this for school facilities, then what you're going out to a few communities who happen to be outgrowing their facilities, or who have we've built brand new facilities and said to those communities, your priorities come before everybody else's. And what I suggest to you to do, that we ought to be doing, is saying, here's dollars for these purposes. And you come before the Business Ready Community Board and the SLIP Board and demonstrate your need and the purpose. And there's no reason why one community should get more dollars simply because they happen to have an abandoned school than another community who may not have it, but has the same need for the state type of facility, but doesn't have the abandoned school. So all communities ought to be able to present their needs, prioritize them for these purposes. And we should not be simply saying, because you happen to have a brand new school and you now have an abandoned school, that you have a priority to these funds.
Further discussion? Senator Hines, Mr. Vice President.
Mr. President, I speak in favor of this amendment. I believe that what we've heard from the communities, particularly the smaller communities that need some of these facilities that they already have in their community, that they need a avenue to make the financial commitment and changes, and they need help because they don't have the local resources. I feel like that we should limit this to begin with, and then in the future we'll see how it works, and it can be expanded at a later date. If we, we're probably not going to have enough funds in here for every community that would like to use this type of a program. But some communities are in real desperate need of having facilities or having the ability to keep facilities which they are currently using, and mostly, most cases, these are schools. And we need to give them an opportunity where they have no other rooms or meetings, just like they've been speaking of for funerals. We've had two or three in Wyoming this past year where a huge amount of the community turns out, and some of these current facilities are all that's available within that community. So I think we should start out slower and see how it works, and then we can expand it later.
Further discussion before the sponsor takes a second time. Further discussion. Senator Case.
Mr. President, part of all, this is the first time on this part of the amendment, but I'm happy to just keep it at one. If everybody else will, I'll tell you. I think the points have been made. Mr. President, you know, this all was brought about because of the schools. The fact that we have embarked on a massive capital construction program in conjunction at the same time, our buildings are very old, but our student base is declining. And we're building smaller schools, more modern, more energy efficient, all sorts of good things. But it has been pointed out by many of the members on this board that in doing so, we leave communities in a lurch, and we've heard it today again. I've heard it from the chief executive of Wyoming. He mentioned it in his State of the State speech, that we need to find a way to assist communities that have been dependent on these facilities for many, many, many years, and they're no longer going to be available because of our modern approach to things, and it's the Supreme Court decision, and one thing after another. If, you know, this should not be opened up to brand new facilities and in communities that have not had those, used those facilities previously. This limits it. That's what this amendment does. It's perfectly appropriate. There's a pure budget notion also that needs to be brought into play here. We don't have enough money to deal with the abandoned school situation, let alone let other people into this pot. And fellow senators, there's another pot, the business-ready communities. And it's doing all sorts of things right up this alley, and it can be used for that. And that's where it should go. And we're adding more money in that this year than is in this bill right now. So that program's getting expanded. We need another program targeted just to school facilities. And I might point out it's school and government facilities. Conceivably, it could be other types of government facilities that are surplus. I would urge you to support this amendment. I think, frankly, if we can narrow down the focus of this bill, we could actually talk about, on third reading, adding some more money once the focus is narrowed. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion on part one of the amendment. Further discussion. The question is, Senate File 71, second reading amendment number one, the Case-Larson Amendment, lines 1 through 22. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no?
No.
The chair is undecided. All in favor, please stand. These hearing aids here right away. That part of the amendment is passed. Back on the second part of the amendment, which is line 23. Any discussion on line 23? Any discussion? Senator Case.
I'm happy to use the first time just to refresh people's memory. This has to do whether the motion of the State Loan Investment Board adopting rules is permissive or not. Current language of the bill says they may adopt rules. The proposed amendment is that they shall adopt rules. Thank you, Mr. President.
Any further discussion on this section of the amendment? Seeing none, which is line 23, second reading amendment number 1, line 23. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. That part of the amendment has passed. Any further discussion on the bill? Senate File 71, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File number 93, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 93, Nursing Practice Act Amendment, sponsored by Senator Massey.
We do have an amendment. The reading clerk will read the amendment.
Senate File 93, second reading, amendment number 1, page 2, line 15.
Second reading amendment is the Scott Amendment. Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I move adoption of this amendment. Mr. President, what this does is it goes in and put some limitations on how far this act's going to go. And the problem that we get into, Mr. President, is the scope of nursing practice comes across such a broad spectrum of the healthcare practices that an awful lot of things could be construed as being nursing practice, which are in fact the normal practice of one of the other healthcare professions. And what this particular amendment does is first it makes sure that anybody who's practicing within the scope of their practice, providing in their own licensure under Title 33, is perfectly all right. They aren't violating the Nursing Practice Act. And second, it keeps the nursing board from trying to regulate the delegation of authority by one healthcare professional within the scope of their practice to auxiliary personnel. And the reason for this amendment is that there has been some attempt by the nursing board to regulate what the doctors do in their own offices with people that are not nurses. And I think it involves who does the some of the record keeping and who does things like weighing in a patient and that kind of thing. It does continue the ability of the nurses to discipline their own profession, and that's carefully preserved here. But this does keep them from going and interfering with other healthcare professions, and I think that's important. It's a complicated issue, and the interrelationships are complicated. But the real problem is the scope of the nursing profession is so broad that it crosses quite a number of the other professions. So, Mr. President, I would urge adoption of the amendment.
Further discussion of the amendment, Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President. In talking with the Board of Nursing about any specific problems, I think they may take a different view, but that's not really the place to have that debate here. I appreciate the sponsor of the amendment working with me on the wording of this amendment. I think it's fine. It certainly gets to the intent of what we're doing here, and I consider it a friendly amendment.
Any further discussion on the amendment? The question is, Senate File 93, second reading amendment number 1, shall it pass the Senate? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The amendment is passed. Back on the bill. Any further discussion on the bill? Senate File 93, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 118, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 118, Wyoming Business Ready Community Program, sponsored by Senator Vasey, an act relating to Wyoming Business Ready Communities.
Senate File 118, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 122, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 122, Higher Education Endowments Account, sponsored by Senator Scott.
We do have some amendments. Second reading amendment number one, the reading clerk will read the amendment.
Senate File 122, second reading amendment number one, page 1, line 13.
The Schiffer-Basie amendment, Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, I move second reading amendment number one to Senate File 122. And further, I move we dispense with further reading of the amendment. Mr. President, what this does, it goes in to Section 2 of the Senate file. And what it does is it names a board. It's 3 members of the Board of Trustees from the university, 2 members from the Community College Commission, and 4 business leaders appointed by the governor. What it asks them to do is to present a plan for the implementation of this endowment that enhances the purposes of this act and furthers the needs of the Wyoming economic, social, and educational infrastructure, and ask them to present that to appropriations. Mr. President, I recall that the funding for this act is spread out over 3 years, $35 million a pop, starting in 2005. What this asks, and the first appropriation is October 1st, what this asks for is that somebody look at this and come up with a plan. It does not in any way impede the flow of funds, doesn't go in there and fool around with any of that. But what it says is if you're going to have an endowment, somebody better step back and figure out a plan for it. And I want it to apply to the business infrastructure, to the social, the educational. I tried to leave that as broad as possible, but I want somebody to have a plan that makes this endowment applicable to the needs of Wyoming. I'd be happy to stand for any questions.
Further discussion on the amendment, Senator Boggs.
Mr. President, I support the intent of this amendment, but would hope that the sponsor would consider coming back on third reading, and instead of 2 people from the Wyoming Community College Commission, have 1 person from the Wyoming Community College Commission and 1 person from the Wyoming Community College Trustees Association. Those trustees are elected. They're responsible for the governance of the community colleges. They're participants in the process. And, Mr. President, I believe they need to be considered.
Further discussion on the amendment. Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President. And I think that this amendment is a good idea. It will further refine what we're trying to do in the bill. And as the sponsor says, it's not going to impede the flow of funds in getting this thing started.
Further discussion on the amendment. Seeing none, the question is Senate File 122, second reading amendment number 1, shall it pass the Senate? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The amendment is passed. Second reading amendment number 2, the reading clerk will read the amendment.
Senate File 122, second reading amendment number 2, page 19, lines 13 through 22.
The Meyer Amendment, Senator Meyer.
Mr. President, I move second reading amendment to number 2 to Senate File 122, ask that further reading of the amendment be dispensed with. Mr. President, I'm not sure about you, but I got sticker shock when I saw $105 million. So, Mr. President, what this basically does is take the last year of the appropriation off to $35 million and conditions $15 million of the first distribution to be contingent upon matching donations on behalf of the university. Mr. President, I don't believe the well is dry on matching donations. I think there's probably some still out there. That program has been very successful. I know they've beat the bushes quite a little bit, but I think it's reasonable to make an assumption that they probably should go out and try to find some more matching funds. If they stop, Mr. President, as far as trying to get donations, I don't believe that'll be productive. In fact, I do believe that the university is going to continue to solicit donations, and I think it's basically in their best interest if there is a matching fund out there, that is really a selling point to solicit those donations. So, Mr. President, I think that's an attractive part of the amendment. If you look at it from the perspective of the total difference between this, it would be about $40 million, assuming that you could get the $15 million in matching funds. So rather than $105 million, you end up with $65 million over the course of 2 years, rather than $105 over the course of three. If we find out that indeed that this is a program that has been very successful, has given the university and the community colleges the opportunity to excel, to bring in other professors, to increase the opportunity and the stature of our university and community colleges. There's nothing that would prohibit us 3 years from now into adding more money into this particular program. I think it's prudent that we don't burden a subsequent legislature who has not yet been elected with appropriations from this body. This is a two-year program. It only has to deal with the people that have been elected, Mr. President. I think it's, I don't believe it's prudent to burden non-elected officials 3 years out with an endowment program. The people that are elected 2 years from now feel that this has been a good program and it's demonstrated effectiveness, then it's appropriate at that time to add money to the endowment program. I do believe that there are a great opportunity to affect the positive outcome in our university and our community colleges. But, Mr. President, the $105 million is just a little bit bigger than a sticker price than I think that we should proceed at this time. And I would hope for your favorable consideration.
Further discussion on the amendment? Senator DeCaria.
Thank you, Mr. President. Neither on or against the amendment, but a question for the sponsor. I was just wondering why it wasn't structured if the money goes two-thirds, one-third, that you didn't have a third match from the community colleges also. I mean, why is it the university has to come up with the money but not the community colleges? And if on the sponsor second time, I'd like to hear an answer to that, Mr. President. Thank you.
Further discussion. Senator Scott.
Well, Mr. President, put his finger on one of the problems with this amendment, but only one of the problems. Frankly, Mr. President, I have trouble deciding where to start. Let me see if I can deal with them in order. With regard to the matching, separate program, the university is raising matching funds, very successful. I suspect in the regular biennial budget next year, may well be back for more. I don't want to in any way interfere with that. I think that let's let that program go forward. The argument here is that we've got this big surplus, and now is the time that we can step up as a legislature on behalf of the people we represent and say, let's take advantage of this opportunity to make a permanent improvement in the quality of our university. And frankly, to do the job, I think it needs to be proportional to the size of the surplus we have, which is large. And I don't think this cutting it in half is appropriate. And I don't think the matching effort is appropriate because I think that'll interfere with the other things we've already done that are designed to raise matching funds and much more appropriately designed than this, which calls for matching for a different thing from what the endowment is for. A second confusion, Mr. President, the deposits here, the three deposits, one in the bill as it's structured without this amendment, one in October, as you've heard, and then two in April 1 of 06 and June 30, 06. We're not burdening any further legislature, strictly within this fiscal year coming up strictly within the time frame of this legislature. I don't know where this myth of a third year got started. It's not there. What the bill is structured does is provide that $70 million of the $105 million will come in after we've met again. So if we have a catastrophe in terms of our revenue between now and the budget session, we'll have the ability to back up on this. And this amendment destroys a good part of that structure. So for all those reasons, Mr. President, I would hope we would resist this particular amendment.
Further discussion on the amendment? Further discussion? Seeing none, the question is, excuse me, Senator Meyer, for your second time.
Thank you. Specifically on the question of why it was just the university and matching funds and not community colleges, Mr. President, specifically on that issue, the community colleges have always had a harder time generating the matching funds. The university has always had, has been more effective than community colleges. And while I believe the well isn't dry at the university level, I think it's more likely than not it is drying up at the community college level. And that was just from anecdotal information that I've received over the last couple of years, and that's the difference, because that's just the information that I had received. Mr. President, I would hope that we would vote for this. We're really not at this point in time interfering with the structure as far as it's only the difference between $25 million and $35 million on the first year. If it's a gangbuster program and that $25 million is spent well and it's very effective, I'm sure we can come back and add to it. So, Mr. President, I believe this does reduce the budget. I'm not sure whether it is requires a roll call vote or not.
It does not require a roll call vote on this vote, unless you want to request that.
Mr. President, I would.
Okay. The yeas and the nays being called for. Any further discussion? The question is, Senate File 122, second reading amendment number 2, the yeas and the nays being called for. The Chief Clerk call the roll.
Anderson?
No.
Allman?
No.
Barrasso?
No.
Boggs?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
Aye.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
DeCaria?
No.
Geis?
Aye.
Haynes?
No.
Hawks?
Aye.
Hines?
No.
Jennings?
No.
Job? Johnson?
No.
Massey?
No.
Meyer?
Aye.
Mockler? Nicholas?
No.
Northrup?
Aye.
Peck?
No.
Ross?
No.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
No.
Sessions?
No.
Townsend?
No.
Vasey?
No.
Bonflatern?
No.
President Larson?
No.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 5 ayes, 25 noes.
By your vote, second reading amendment number 2 has failed to pass the Senate. Second reading amendment number 3, the reading clerk will read the amendment.
Senate File 122, second reading amendment number 3, page 19, lines 13 through 22.
The Sessions amendments under Sessions.
Mr. President, I would like to move second reading amendment number 3 to Senate File 122 and commence with or disperse with the reading, continued reading of the amendment. I want to assure you I'm not fooling around with anything in this except on changing the funding source. And I thought that we ought to have this discussion, having been an old person on this floor and in the House, when there was absolutely no money in that school foundation fund to fund the things that we needed for education. And it's been a struggle. We've come a long way, and a commitment by this legislature to do some of the things that we've needed to do. that we've, and I know, and I've heard other members on the floor stand up here, when we raided the water account one time, we did some things to the highway department account, different things like that, in order to fund education. So I'm asking you at this time to consider changing this funding source to the general file, and just because there happens to be some money in the school foundation fund that is to fund K through 12 education, that we not leave it for other purposes, that we leave it there for recalibration and for the development of some of the programs that we think are so necessary for our younger children. And I have no problem with endowments and strengthening our university. I think it's a wonderful idea and a wonderful investment, but I do have a problem with using the K through 12 money to do it. We have a lot of work to do on that bottom level to get kids ready to go to college in order to take part in the University of Wyoming's program. And I would urge us to consider carefully changing the funding source for this and leave the school foundation fund alone. Thank you.
Further discussion on the amendment, Senator Cole.
Mr. President, thank you. Raising against the amendment, and of course we've had extensive debates about the issues of the school foundation program. I pulled out some more recent numbers that talk about projecting into 07 and 08, and clearly, if we do, based on projections, do what we project in 07, including the external cost adjustment, doesn't include recalibration, $255 million would be the balance, and then if we take off what we're doing in this session, $74 million, that'd be about $180-something left. In 08, it's actually projected to be even higher than that. We're projecting a balance available of $328 million. So clearly there's adequate funds in there, and I want to just say one more time that the way the amendment that was put on is structured, we only come up with $35 million of the $105 million in October. Then we come back into session, and if we've got a problem with the April payment or something happens out there and we can't do it, the April and the June payment, we can make the adjustments. Now the general fund, the school foundation program has dedicated general fund monies in it consistently and has for the last 15 years, except for the last couple years. Awful lot of money's gone into K-12 education right out of the general fund. I think it's appropriate when we look at the school foundation program to say, not just school foundation program. Doesn't specifically say K-12 school foundation program. You know, we're talking in this state, when we talk education, we're talking K-12 and post-secondary education, community colleges, and the university. So clearly, I think this is an appropriate place to access the monies because there's projected large surpluses out there in this account. And we have a history right from the beginning of Campbell 1 of coming in and doing what we had to do to fund education. The recalibration process is going to take some money. There's no question about that. Clearly, we'll probably look at salaries, all the other components of it. But there's plenty of money in there, and the projections are that money is going to continue to be there for some time into the future. And I would say that post-secondary education in the state, to adequately fund it and do what's right for post-secondary education, is as important as K-12. So I'd ask you to support the amendment.
You're asking to support the amendment, Senator Cole?
Mr. President, I'm asking that you defeat the amendment.
Thank you. Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. And on and against the amendment, but I would like to focus the debate. And there was a letter that was written by an executive branch official this morning. The amendment that is presently on the bill does not raid one single dollar from the school foundation program account. What it does is that the school foundation program has revenues from various sources. One of the sources of revenue is the federal mineral royalty. It receives one-third of the above-the-cap amount. Remember the cap being $200 million. above that cap, one-third goes into the foundation program account and two-thirds goes into the budget reserve account. What the amendment does is it recognizes that there is adequate funding in the school foundation program, and it intercepts a portion of the federal mill royalties before they reach the school foundation program account. Now, the issue is it appropriate to intercept some of those monies for a period of time in order to fund this bill? I submit to you, based upon what the chairman from Clark County has said, is that recognizing that there is adequate funds to meet all of the anticipated needs, not only into the future, but we also had this account projected out at lower natural gas prices, and it still had adequate funds. Even at $3 gas, there was adequate funding to meet these obligations. So it is appropriate to take a look and see whether or not some of these federal minerals royalties ought to be used on a one-time basis to do things such as this. But there is no raid on the foundation program. It simply intercepts federal mineral royalties for a limited period of time.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, rising against this amendment, and I think the only issue here is the source of the funding, which has been quite adequately described, and there's plenty of money in the source for all the needs in the K-12 program. And Mr. President, I think we need to look broadly at the whole suite of educational needs, all the way from the programs that are preschool, including my own favorite, the infant home nurse visitation program, all the way through the university level, so that we can assure that our kids have the best possible education all the way through. And what the bill does, as amended yesterday, is that it provides that we're going to spend, invest $105 million in scholarships at the university and the community college level to try to do something. At the university and community college level, to try to assure that we have the degree of excellence in those institutions that our children need to be prepared for the modern technology-based economy and lifestyle that we're clearly getting into. And I think that's an appropriate use of school foundation funds. And I think if we just let it sit in school foundation, the temptation will be to build a whole bunch of other ongoing programs that when the downturn comes, and it will come, we won't be able to afford. And I would point out to you that the revenue sources that are being intercepted here that go into the foundation program are highly dependent on the price of minerals and the production of minerals, and those are very volatile. So this one-time use of the funds, I think, is entirely appropriate. So I would urge us to defeat this amendment.
Further discussion before the sponsor takes a second time? Further discussion? Senator Sessions.
Mr. President, I guess I hear the words projection, assumptions, and then I heard the word downturn. Well, we're looking at someone who was part of that downturn and whose salary at the time I was teaching, as many of the people across the state were, whose salaries were frozen during that downturn for several periods at a time. And I submit to you that it's a nice pot of money right now. We have no idea what's going to happen in the future. On NPR coming in here this morning, I heard about oil now, what's happening with oil at this point in time, what's happening across the world. We have no idea what's going to happen. What I submit to you is I would urge us to save this money. And, you know, when I have a funding stream, when I am working and I have a stream of my money going into my savings account, if I intercept that money before it goes into my savings account, it still has an impact on my savings account where that money should have gone. So I would urge us to leave the school foundation funding alone. And I guess it comes from a person who has stood up there too many times hunting for sources of money to fund education, whether it was salaries, special programs, or to decrease our class size. And so it's a philosophical decision. And if we go against this amendment, I would also like to be on record as saying, please be kind to the next person who stands up here looking for education money that has to raid other accounts during the downturn. Thank you.
Further discussion on the amendment. Seeing none, the question is, Senate File 122, second reading amendment number 3, shall it pass the Senate? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
The amendment has failed to pass the Senate. Back on the bill. Any further discussion on the bill? Senate File 122, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 132, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 132, first responders, criminal background checks, sponsored by Senator Mockler.
Senate File 132, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 150, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 150, special prosecution account, sponsored by Senator Burns.
Senate File 150, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 159, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 159, National Guard Youth Program, sponsored by Senator Boggs.
Senate File 159, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 160, excuse me, Senator Boggs, I couldn't see you there. Senator Boggs.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, yesterday I promised the body an answer to a question. It had to do with recidivism. We have information from the Newcastle boot camp. The information there is that 25% of the inmates that are recommended for the boot camp do not make it through the program. And then the second piece of information is that 30% of the people who complete the program return to the camp. They don't keep track after at some point, so these records are the best they could provide. In terms of the boys school, in FY04, recidivism was 13%, and in calendar year 04, the recidivism was 14%. For the Wyoming girls school, recidivism was 20%. Mr. President, I did indicate to the body that I would return with that information today. That is the information that was provided to us.
Any further discussion on the bill? Any further discussion on the bill? Senate File 159, once again, having been read 2 separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 162, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 162, Wyoming Historic Mine Trail System, sponsored by Senator Peck.
Senate File 162, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 165, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 165, Loss of Chance Doctrine Abrogated, number 2, sponsored by Senator Allman.
Senate File 165, having been read two separate times, question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 166, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 166, State Drug Wholesaler, sponsored by Senator Mockler.
There is an amendment. Second reading, amendment number one. The reading clerk will read the amendment.
Senate File 166, second reading, amendment number one, page 1, line 11.
The Scott Amendment, Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I move adoption of this amendment. Mr. President, what this amendment does is remove the line that says that the committee will report suggested legislation and recommendations of management council by December 1st. Mr. President, that's simply not the way we normally do things. Normally, the committee, if it finds legislation is needed, drafts a bill and submits it to the legislature. And so all the amendment does is conform the language of this bill to what our normal practice is, and I would urge its adoption.
Further discussion on the amendment? Further discussion? Seeing none, the question is, Senate File 166, second meeting amendment number one, shall it pass the Senate? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The amendment has been adopted. Back on the bill. Senate File 166, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 170, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 170, Controlled Substances Penalty, sponsored by Senator Boggs.
Senate File 170, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 172, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 172, Gap Accounting Implementation, sponsored by the Appropriations Committee.
Senate File 172, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate File 173, second reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 173, Assault Upon Corrections or Detention Officer, sponsored by Senator Meyer.
Senate File 173, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate Joint Resolution Number 6, second reading of the Joint Resolution.
Senate Joint Resolution 6, Recapture Limitation, sponsored by Senator Cole.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 6, having been read two separate times, question is, shall a joint resolution be read third time? Senate Joint Resolution, hearing no objection, it is so ordered. Senate Joint Resolution Number 7, second reading of the Joint Resolution.
Senate Joint Resolution 7, Oath of Office 2, sponsored by Senator DeCaria.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 7, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do you have a consent list?
Mr. President, we do have a consent list. On the consent list are Senate File 45, State Tribal Liaison, Senate File 65, Alzheimer's Study, Senate File 90, Substitute Number 1, Quota Replacement of Juveniles, Federal Funds. Senate File 100, Welfare Benefits Eligibility. And Senate File 113, Medical Safety Event Reporting.
On the consent list are Senate File 45, State Tribal Liaison. Senate File 65, Alzheimer Study. Senate File 90, Substitute Number 1, Court-Ordered Placements of Juveniles, Federal Funds. Senate File 100, Welfare Benefits Eligibility. And Senate File 113, Medical Safety Event Reporting. Would any senator like any of these bills removed from the consent list? Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Allman?
Aye.
Barrasso?
Aye.
Boggs?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
DeCaria?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Haynes?
Aye.
Hawks?
Aye.
Hines?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Job?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Mockler?
Aye.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Northrup?
Aye.
Peck?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
Aye.
Vasey?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Larson?
Aye.
On the consent list, 30 ayes. Senate File 45, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 45, 30 ayes. Senate File 65, are there any changes?
Schiffer, aye to no.
Schiffer, aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 65, 29 ayes, 1 no. Senate File 90, are there any changes? Ross, aye to no.
Schiffer, aye to no.
Schiffer, aye to no.
Johnson, aye to no.
Anderson, aye to no. Burns, aye to no.
Hawks, aye to no.
Case, aye to no. Jennings, aye to no.
Scott,
aye to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 90, 21 ayes, 9 noes. Senate File 100, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 100, 30 ayes. And Senate File 113, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 113, 30 ayes.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 45, State Tribal Liaison, Senate File 65, Alzheimer's Study, Senate File 90, Substitute Number 1, Court-Ordered Placements of Juveniles, Federal Funds, Senate File 100, Welfare Benefits Eligibility, and Senate File 113, Medical Events Reporting, have passed the Senate. Senate File 41, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 41, Wildlife and Natural Resource Funding Act, sponsored by the Travel Committee, and Act Relating to Natural Resources, be it enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming.
We do have some amendments. Senate File 41, third reading amendment number 1. The reading clerk will read the amendment.
Senate File 41, third reading amendment number 1 to substitute bill number 1, page 12, line 18.
Is the Jennings amendment, Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move third reading amendment number 1, Senate File 41, and ask for your favorable consideration and request suspension of third reading. What we're actually trying to do here is put more money into this bill. And even though some may disagree with that, what we're doing is putting $10 million in as the base. And that gets the bill, that gets the process started, everything is moving. When we take another $30 million and put next to it, and we ask for matching funds on this. I know that out of the industry that I work in, that there's already checks pending for this bill. So there's support for this type of a movement to go ahead and build this up and keep it going. What it does is it gives people, industry, and groups in the state an active chance to participate in this process. We've talked about moving land from one side to another, selling, and all this kind of stuff, but this really gives organizations the ability to come in and say, I want to be part of this process. I don't have a particular project, a piece of land, or anything like that, but I do have money. Let me put it in. Thank you, Mr. President.
Further discussion on the amendment, Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President. The present provisions in the bill allow for gifts and contributions from any source to go into it. And if there are folks out there who want to contribute, they can certainly do so now. And the fact that we're putting right now at this moment in the bill $15 million into it should certainly be a great deal of incentive presently for anyone in the private sector to be able to provide and donate that money without a matching requirement. If we were to adopt this amendment, the first thing that happens, though, is that $15 million donation, or that $15 million appropriation is reduced to $10 million. And while I certainly appreciate the spirit of the $30 million matching fund challenge that this amendment would provide, I don't think that it's going to be met. And a few years ago, as the President well knows, I believe he was the sponsor of the bill that provided a $30 million matching and challenge fund to the University of Wyoming, which they did meet. But in order to do that, and later on we supplemented that with another $18 million, but in order to do that, they had an entire foundation staff full of fundraising professionals working throughout the region and even nationally in order to try to pull that money in and match it. In addition, they had the help and the active involvement of not only the UW president, but also a former United States senator from Wyoming who had extensive connections and used them in order to help put this kind of challenge together. As now contrast that with this bill here, that even with the $300,000, which is in it to provide some startup money to get an office and to hire an executive director, at the most they may have one or two staff to be able to go out and administer the board. And so I think it's a little bit much to expect them in their spare time to put the kind of effort that UW did into raising $30 million, which is a staff or two who are not professional fundraisers. So I hope that we would defeat this amendment. I think it's well intended, but practically I don't think it's going to be able to be implemented. And in reality, we would just simply be reducing the appropriation to $10 million.
Senator Scott.
Well, Mr. President, I think it's two different ideas in here. I'm going to ask the amendment be divided. And that the division be lines 1 through 14, and then 14 through the award account period, that'd be the first division. The second division would be that second sentence there that starts on line 14 and continues for the balance of the amendment. It says, no money shall be expended under this subsection. That'd be the second division.
chair rules, that is divisible.
Mr. President.
The first part of the amendment, which we will now discuss, is lines 1 through 14 up through the period after the word account. Senator Scott.
Mr. President, speaking on and for this portion of the amendment, I think that this, as I read it, it brings the total appropriated up from $15 million to, when you add the two pieces together, to $45 million. I think that's a good deal more appropriate size, and I think that's something we ought to do. It does, of course, have money, so we'll have to take a roll call on it. But I think it is a sensible way to deal with some of the surplus to protect the wildlife resources of this state.
Further discussion on that section of the amendment. Senator Hines, Mr. Vice President.
Mr. President, I rise in opposition, and now is the time that we will have to start making our decisions on priorities. As we got the yellow profile this morning, as I figure it, we currently, when you take your reserve off, we have $73 million. The house is $69 million in the hole, and so that's around $140 million difference that we'll have to negotiate with them. There, as we put money into bills, we have less negotiating factors than we do already. I think some of you approve of some of the house amendments, and we'll want to increase the Senate spending. I disagree with my neighbor when we talk about the surpluses. They're the kind of surpluses we've been talking about a lot are just not there. We cannot do everything this year that we would like to do. So at this time, we have to start making the tough decisions. If your top priority is this bill, this Senate file, well then you will vote to put the money in there, but also realize some other things you may want may go down later in the session, because there's just not the money to do everything.
For the discussion on that section of the amendment, Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. My esteemed colleague from Natrona County, I learn something from him every day. Today I've learned how to rise and ask you not to vote for part of my amendment. My hat's off to you, Senator. Very skillfully, what my colleague has done here is taking a reduction and turned it into an increase. And that's not the intent, that's not what I intended with this amendment at all. So I would urge that the good senator from appropriations has the right idea and defeat this turkey, would you please, Mr. President?
Further discussion on that section of the amendment, which are lines 1 through 14 up to the period after the word account. Further discussion. Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
No.
Allman?
No.
Barrasso?
No.
Boggs?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
DeCaria?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Haynes?
No.
Hawks?
No.
Hines?
No.
Jennings?
No.
Jobe?
Aye.
Johnson? Massey?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Mockler?
No.
Nicholas?
No.
Northrup?
No.
Peck?
No.
Ross?
Aye.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
No.
Vasey?
No.
Von Flatern?
No.
President Larson?
No.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 9 ayes. 21 noes.
By your vote, that section of the amendment has been defeated. Back on the second section, which is line 14, after the period of account, reading no money shall, and the remainder of the amendment. Sponsor of the amendment, Senator Jennings.
Mr. President, and the education continues. Not much left here, guys, so what I would do is I would withdraw the second part of this amendment.
Hearing no objection, Senator Vasey.
I would just like to welcome the junior senator from the county to the club.
Absent objection, that part of the amendment has been withdrawn. Third reading amendment number 2. The reading clerk will read the amendment.
Senate file 41, third reading amendment number 2 to substitute bill number 1, page 12, line 18.
The Massey amendment, Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move third reading amendment number 2 to Senate file 41 and request that further reading of the amendment be dispensed with. Mr. President, this increases the amount of funding that we're going to put into this bill. If we were to adopt it, it would go up from $15 million to $30 million for the Wildlife Trust Fund. In taking a look at the goldenrod and looking at the money that is available in it, apparently, the budget reserve account right now has about $70-plus million, as we heard from the Vice President. And with regard to the restricted legislative stabilization reserve account, if I understand the amendment correctly that we passed on the budget, there will be $135 million remaining in there. So essentially between the two accounts, we have over $205 million. This amendment is requesting $15 million of that to go for a very worthwhile purpose, and that's preserving our wildlife well into this century, in fact, for the rest of this century. Okay, while we go and out on this land and earn a living through agricultural and mineral development and in other ways, this account will ensure that we're able to maintain something that's very valuable to us, and that's our wildlife. So another $15 million investment doesn't seem to be very much right now when we compare it to the benefits that we would be able to provide through this account and through this board. I would direct folks' attention to page 5 of the bill again, and while we have an awful lot of discussion, and we'll have some further discussion about whether or not to purchase land through this effort, there are many other worthwhile activities that we haven't focused on and we haven't talked about for a couple of days. And I would certainly urge you to take a look at that list, because that demonstrates the very important and beneficial things that we can do with this money. A $30 million appropriation would essentially raise somewhere around $1.4 million that this board will be able to use. Some of that will go into administration, which will leave $1 million or so left that they can begin going out sometime next year and doing some worthwhile things with it. So I would hope that the Senate would adopt this amendment.
For the discussion on the amendment, Senator Meyer.
Mr. President, point of order. The other amendment, after it was divided, the previous amendment, had the exact same amount of money going to the exact same account. It's the same topic twice being voted on in the same day. I believe this is out of order.
Senator Scott.
Point of order. I don't think that's accurate. The previous amendment, as I read it, was for an increase, the way we voted on it, of $40 million, and this one is $30 million. So it represents the kind of compromise amendment we have normally handled, one right after another on the same reading.
Chair rules that it's not the same, if there were other things within the other amendment, and that the amendment is proper. Further discussion on the amendment. Senator Vice President.
Mr. Chairman, speaking neither for or against the amendments, you've already heard my speech a time or two, and we'll label that number 1. And from now on, I'll just get up and remind you of the same thing and not take a lot of time.
Mr. Vice President, there's a little confusion on the chair. Was number 1 addressing the, I think the word was huge surplus? Is that what you were addressing, or was that the not-so-huge surplus?
Mr. President, I'm not talking about any huge surplus.
Okay. Further discussion? Senator Jennings.
Mr. President, and I'm not on the Appropriations Committee, the other day we voted for an amendment to make this, I believe it was $15 million. A few minutes ago we just voted on that wonderful amendment I brought forward and we defeated the $40 million. And I'm learning in my education here, $10 million here, $10 million there, this is still an increase on what we voted for the other day. And I would urge you, let's stick to our guns from the other day and vote no on this.
Further discussion on the amendment. Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President, and on against the amendment. As you begin to look at the goldenrod and trying to sort out where your priorities are, remember that notwithstanding that we have $148 million in our budget reserve account, profiled as a day, the House has $7 million. For those of you that have been around, you know the drill of the principal discussion at time of conference will be over what amount, if any, should go into the permanent mineral trust fund, so that we've got $200 million in the House position going to the permanent mineral trust fund for that appropriation, none on the Senate side. There is an appropriation on the Senate side on some future revenues, a portion of it. We still have Senate File 25. So no matter what happens is that you still have to look at what the likely events are going to be as your conference committee goes out, and you're now making a decision with respect to whether this item has a higher priority than the items that are already in your budget. So your budget is not set in stone, and you can balance the difference between the House and the Senate on savings. You can balance it on expenditures, or you can balance it on bills on general file that are going through. I submit to you that if you look at all your priorities, that this is a plan or a program that we can come back and fund. It's going to take this substantial time to get going. We have a substantial dispute still with respect to what its parameters are going to be. The rules and regulations are going to be very important to everybody with respect to how much to put in it. We'll be back here in a year, and we can put more money into it at that time.
Further discussion on the amendment. Senator Scott.
Well, speaking on for the amendment, that was very useful. Because I think it puts the decision we're making into some kind of perspective here. We're talking really different kinds of savings. And I think perhaps you could look at it as if we pass this amendment, we will reduce the amount that's going into the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund when the conference committee is all said and done by $15 million, which is what I think the point of difference here is. That will raise it at 5% interest. That raises $750,000 a year. The question really comes down to, would you rather spend from now on that additional $750,000 a year on the activities called for by this bill, preserving wildlife habitat, that kind of thing, preserving the hunting and fishing opportunities that make this a great state, or would you rather put it in the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund and have that $750,000 a year going to the general fund to meet all the other obligations that the state government has? That's a reasonable choice on either side. Now, the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund is going to be very healthy with or without this particular $15 million we're debating right now. But it is our insurance policy against ever needing an income tax in this state. And it's extraordinarily valuable, been a big help to us. So that's a reasonable use of the money. I would submit to you, however, that the wildlife legacy that this state has is one of the things that's Wyoming a wonderful place to live in that helps bring all of us and all of our constituents to this state. And I'm going to vote for this amendment because I think that the use of that money every year to help preserve and protect our wildlife heritage is more valuable than that addition to the Permanent Mineral Trust Fund. But I think that's the choice you're making.
Further discussion on the amendment? Further discussion? The question is, third reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 41. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
No.
Allman?
No.
Barrasso?
Aye.
Boggs?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
No.
DeCaria?
Aye.
Geis?
No.
Haynes?
Aye.
Hawks?
No.
Hines?
No.
Jennings?
No.
Job? Johnson?
Aye.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Mockler?
Aye.
Nicholas?
No.
Northrup?
No.
Peck?
No.
Ross?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
No.
Facy?
Aye.
Bonflatern?
Aye.
President Larson?
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 18 ayes, 12 noes.
By your vote, third reading amendment number 2 has passed the Senate. Third reading amendment number 3. The reading clerk will read the amendment.
Senate File 41, third reading amendment number 3 to Senate Substitute Bill number 1, corrected copy, page 6 after line 23.
Peck Amendment, Senator Peck.
Mr. President, I move adoption of the corrected copy, third reading amendment, to Senate File 41. Senators, we've been back and forth a little bit here on whether or not we want to allow public funds to be used for acquisition of land. This amendment makes it very clear that no funds shall be dispersed under this act for the purchase of any interest in real property. The earlier draft of the amendment didn't make it clear as to what we were forbidding by adoption of this amendment. But the intention is be no fee interest in land and no fee interest in minerals. You'll note that the amendment references another section which I believe preserves the flexibility necessary to make the Natural Resource Funding Act work. This allows land exchanges, allows gifts of lands, but it does not allow us the use of public funds to go out and be in competition with a rancher who might need to expand his ranch. It does not allow the purchase of lands and then have them later resold at a profit. I think this gives a more clear direction to the Wildlife, the Natural Resource Funding Act, and I think we need to give them clear direction, and I'd urge adoption of Amendment Number 3.
Further discussion on the amendment, Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President. We've discussed this for now for the third day, and I think that people understand the arguments on both sides of it. I do want to put this into context because I've mentioned before we really haven't discussed much of the rest of the bill, and there's some very positive things in there. I'm going to vote against this amendment for the reasons that I've stated in over the last couple of days. I think that it does come down to a matter of property rights and who that individual owns the property wants to sell to. But also, it can be a very important tool that can be used to preserve wildlife habitat and in the process save the state as well as the tax owners and other taxpayers as well as other property owners a great deal of money and time and effort if we were to do this correctly. So, again, urge you to vote against this amendment. If we do decide to adopt it, then it's fine. There's plenty of other things in this bill which are superb and certainly worthy of a final reading vote, but I hope that this isn't one of them.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, I too rise in opposition to this amendment. And I am a landowner, and I resent highly someone telling me who I can sell to, who I can't sell to. Next thing they'll be telling me who I can lease to, who I can't lease to. I can't take any hunters from Illinois, but I can take them from Rhode Island. Let me run my own place. Thank you. I mean, I'm a rancher. I make my living off the land. Let me sell to whom I wish, lease to whom I wish, even an easement maybe that I want to sell. Let a power company come across my place with a power line. Let me do it. It's my home. It's my business. I don't go into anybody else's business and say, excuse me, I'm just picking one at random. You're in the newspaper business. Don't sell newspapers to anybody whose last name starts with SCH. I wouldn't do that. Honest. I don't care who he sells newspapers to. But please, don't tell me what to do with my business. I'll take my risks. I'll take my lumps, be it drought, low prices, no sales tax on semen, or whatever it is. But really, I'll take care of myself. Thank you very much. I don't need your help, honest.
Mr. Majority Floor Leader, it's improper to refer to bills from the other house. Senator Meyer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, I'm a landowner, too. But, Mr. President, this isn't about whether a person is a landowner, and it's not about landowner rights. Mr. President, it's about taxpayers and taxpayer rights. This is state money. It's my money, it's all your money, and it's everybody that's outside of this door within the four boundaries of the borders of Wyoming. This is taxpayer dollars. And what we're saying is, do taxpayer dollars, do we want to allow a newly formed entity when we don't even know who's going to be on the commission, when we don't even know what the rules and regulations are, that all they have is the broadest direction of statute to buy land and keep it forever in the ownership of the state? That's the question. Are we going to use taxpayer dollars? It's not landowner rights. I can certainly sell to anyone I want to. But the question is, do we allow the state to buy land, lock it up forever? And that's the question. It's taxpayers' rights.
Senator Butler.
Mr. President, on and against the amendment. And I think we're seeing a lot more in this than there probably is. First of all, if they should actually get 5% interest and have $1.5 million in their little budget next year, they're not buying much land with it, not in Wyoming, and certainly not the land that we're looking at. So I don't think we're rushing into it by saying, go ahead, let them look at all the options. Let them get their board together. Let them start looking at whether or not it's appropriate to even buy this land or what kinds of land they'll want to buy. I don't think that they're going to rush out, assuming we get them all up and running and they have money returned. By the time we get back next year, they're probably not going to be buying a lot of land. Secondly, it's going to be managed by the Board of Land Commissioners. So it is land that is always negotiable in terms of how the state works with it. It isn't owned by this commission. It isn't held forever by this commission with no one else being able to do anything on it. The land itself isn't in trust. It's actually being managed as a state asset by the Board of Land Commissioners, hopefully in line with what the people on this board would like it to be. But it is state land that is negotiable and sellable as any other state land. And so I don't think, even as our state land of land commissioners, it isn't their goal to go out and buy tons of land either, because it's very expensive to manage this stuff. So I think we're not jumping too far ahead right now. I think what we're doing is saying, let's look at all of our options. There are a lot of things that we need to explore, and I don't think we need to tie their hands right off the top of run into this thing.
Further discussion, Senator Scott.
Mr. President, rising on and against this amendment, and let me say I agree with all the other arguments that we've heard so far against the amendment, but let me add one. If you look at the amendment, it speaks to, other than is provided in paragraph D2, you look at what paragraph D2 is, and it's preservation of open spaces by purchase or acquisition of development rights. And that's a reasonable thing to do, maybe something the board may on occasion want to do. But I would hate to have that the only way they could acquire any kind of real property interest. because when you, you're getting an easement for preservation of open spaces, you're not getting the rights of access for purposes in hunting and fishing. Those are typically not included in such things. And I think with the terms of this amendment that are as restrictive, you wouldn't be able to get them. And I think there may be some occasions where the you have an opportunity to purchase some small parcels that will give you habitat and give you access. And with this state increasingly being locked up with out-of-state ownership of some of the large ranching areas, I think the access is going to be more and more and more important. And I think this amendment would interfere with that aspect of the Commission's work here. So I would urge us to defeat it.
Further discussion? Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, Mr. President. On and for the amendment, as we set out this this group of people to begin their rules and regulations, this is a trust fund that we expect to be in existence for a long, long time. And the philosophy that we set out at the beginning is that which is likely to adhere for many years to get come. So the question is do you say, give them the broadest rights to go out and buy property, or do you come back and say, look, the policy is that we do not buy real estate. The state of Wyoming is already a large owner of real estate. Our federal government is. Once we acquire real estate, we rarely, if ever, can sell it and get it back into private hands. So rather than give you the broadest mandate, the mandate is you won't. And then come back over the years and we'll see whether or not there are types of easements other than those that are specified that we can take a look at. And we'll be here again over and over. But this is the philosophy. To preserve habitat, you need not go out and purchase real estate. And it can issue, meet its mandate without having to acquire more land and take more of our private land out of private hands.
Is that your computer again, Senator Cole? Senator Burns.
Mr. President, I think that was in the other room. Mr. President, I'm against the amendment. And relating back to what my colleague to my left was just talking about, I don't know that we want to necessarily restrict what this commission will be able to do at this point. Now, that is something that this body can do in years to come. We're talking about now putting $30 million into it, but what was envisioned in this trust was eventually, and if things keep going well, hopefully, over $200 million. That every penny of that, well, I'm sorry, hopefully we will get some donations into it, but the vast majority of that is subject to the appropriation of this body, of this legislature. And we can put any rules we want at that time. But I would say let's not tie their hands at this point, because as the tall senator from Natrona County said, sometimes acquisition of small parcels can be critical to achieving the ends that we want from this bill, from this act, and not just one sentence or one line in it. If things get goofy, this legislature can step in and stop it quite easily. But why tie their hands now, especially before the rules and regulations have been made? If we have problems with the rules and regulations, there's a lot we can do with it down the line.
Further discussion, Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. Second piece of knowledge and learning today. I think my colleague from Riverton has very skillfully put together a compromise for both sides. There's some of us, I've had amendments on this bill myself, trying to work around this issue of buying real property in the fee lands. As he's put this together, he hasn't restricted the intent of the bill. He's got it still there. We're not really tying the hands, and in the first round that we go out there and this commission and board looks at what needs to be done, again, we can come back. I think this is, I would like to commend the senator from Riverton. This is a very good amendment. as the sponsor said, you pass this, we can work with it. Obviously, he's not for it. But I think this is a good compromise, and I think that we should vote for this amendment.
Further discussion on the amendment. Further discussion. It does not require money. Question is, Senate Paul 41, third reading amendment number 3. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Chair's undecided. All in favor, please stand. All opposed? The amendment has failed to pass. Senate File 41, third reading amendment number 4. The reading clerk will read the amendment.
Senate File 41, third reading amendment number 4 to substitute bill number 1, page 6 after line 23.
The Meyer Amendment, Senator Meyer.
Mr. President, I move third reading amendment number 4 to Senate File 41 and ask for its favorable consideration. And that further the reading of the amendment be dispensed with. Mr. President, this is a little different from the amendment that I brought previously. I had two methods of approval in there, and they could have conflicted. Mr. President, this just says that no real property shall be purchased or received by the board unless and until expressly approved by the legislature. So, Mr. President, I wanted to go back in and look at some precedents of where the legislature does approve. And I went into a water bill this year, and just let me reflect back on that. Here's one with the Deaver Flume Project for $420,000. Another one, Mr. President, for the Taylor Ditch Company. That was just at $540,000. Another one, the Stonegate Water Supply Project, that was $260,000. Mr. President, another one, the Mead Creek Ditch, that was at $535,000. Lake DeSmit Rehabilitation over there in Johnson County area at $165,000. These are all construction projects, Mr. President. And if you look at the select water process, Mr. President, you have a water development commission, which would be similar, I would think, as the border commission that's going to be set up for the Wildlife Trust Fund. Okay. And then you also have a select committee that overviews it, joint interim committees and standing committees, as well as the appropriation committee and the full body of each floor. So, Mr. President, there is a precedence there to look at different projects from that $500,000 down or in that range down. And, in fact, there's a very long track record with the Water Development Commission, the Select Water Committee, and all of the work that they do. And, Mr. President, I think it's realistic to say that we should have some oversight on this new wildlife commission or board or whatever we want to call it. There is a precedence there, Mr. President. I believe that it's reasonable to have some legislative oversight, especially when it gets into the area of real property. We had the discussion about whether or not this organization should even have real property, and in view of the circumstances and the volatility of that particular issue, I would hope in those instances that there would be some legislative oversight, and I would ask for your favorable consideration.
Further discussion, Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President. On and against the amendment, we already have a provision in the bill that says any kind of a grant of over $500,000 already has to have legislative approval. So that's going to come to us. And I would imagine any kind of land acquisition of any size is going to be that much or more. Anything smaller than that would be a very small, focused chunk of land in which the owner would need to wait for over a year perhaps as long as a year, in order to come to the legislature and receive approval. And also a reminder, Mr. President, that in our budget that we just closed last week, I believe that we appropriated $7.8 million to A&I for them to use for the purchase of any land around the Capitol complex in case it becomes available. So we certainly gave them, compared to this bill, a very significant chunk of money and told them to go forth and purchase some land with that. So again, Mr. President, against the amendment, we already have the ability to approve any kind of significant land acquisition of $500,000 or more.
Further discussion on the amendment. It contains no money. The question is Senate File 41, third read. Senator Meyer, for your second time.
$500,000 can buy a significant chunk of land. If you look at grassland that's ranging between $100 to $300 an acre, $500,000 can buy up to 5,000 acres. That's a significant chunk of land. If you look at irrigated land values down in our area, they range from $700 an acre to $2,000 an acre, maybe $2,500. A lot of this land would probably average somewhere around $1,000. So you're looking at buying a section of land at a time. Mr. President, the land board, the land commissioners already have more ground than they know what to do with or they can actually maintain. That we've had a lot of discussion about that through our joint ag committees over the course of the year. Mr. President, if you think that 5,000 acres is an insignificant piece of ground, or if you believe that a whole section of irrigated ground is insignificant and doesn't need a legislative review, when in fact at certain times in the water process, where we review things that are maybe $50,000, Mr. President. So I guess I would say is that if the ominous water bill and what we've been doing on that is wrong, then, Mr. President, I guess we need to change that. But, Mr. President, I believe if we don't have some legislative oversight with this, we're going to be in a situation where we wish we would have had at some point in time.
Senator Vasey.
I would rise in support of this amendment. And the good senator from Goshen County makes an eloquent argument about using taxpayer money to buy public land. And I hope that any future legislation that we might have in this body during this session, that we take this precedent and we don't use public taxpayer money to buy private land for any state agencies or institutions.
Further discussion, Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President. And again, we are not setting a precedent with this. I think that we're being very deliberate about this, and we're going to have the ability to not only review any major purchases, but there's going to be a report coming back to us every year, the TRW Appropriations Committee, year in and year out, from this group telling us what they're doing. And that's good oversight.
Further discussion. The question is, Senate File 41, third reading amendment number 4, shall it pass the Senate? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed no?
No.
The chair is undecided. All in favor stand. All opposed stand. The amendment has failed to pass the Senate. The third reading amendment number 5. The reading clerk will read the amendment.
Senate File 41, third reading amendment number 5 to substitute bill number 1, page 12, line 18.
The Boggs Amendment.
Mr. President, if there is no objection, I'd like to withdraw this amendment.
Absent objection, the amendment has been withdrawn. Back on the bill. Senator Mockler.
Back on the bill.
Back on the bill.
Mr. President, I wanted to make a comment about this bill because I think all of you are pretty aware that I don't really like the idea of setting up trust funds. But I think it's a dangerous direction for the state of Wyoming to give every entity a trust fund, which essentially tries to keep them away from the legislature. And you get a lot of emails that will say that to you, that if they give us this money, we'll never have to go back to the legislature again. And that's a very frightening thing to me. However, I also think that over the course of our history, we failed in a lot of respects. We failed to do appropriate zoning. We failed to do appropriate maintenance of a lot of our land. And I think we failed in our stewardship responsibility to the land that the people of this state are so fond. We have probably one of the only states really left that isn't so cut up into such tiny little ranchettes, although we're trying, that we still have a wildlife resource that is comparable to something in Africa, in the Serengeti. I mean, we really, truly have a resource. But I think we now have reached a point where, although this probably isn't the way I would have liked to have assured to the future generations of this state that we had a wildlife resource, I think it's about the only way we can. And I think it's a legitimate commitment of resource of the people of this state to do this. I think that we have to trust that the future generations aren't going to go out and just purchase every piece of land that they can find, or they're not going to go out and overdevelop and make it so that the people don't still have access, but that what we will have in the future is a stronger sense of stewardship because we've all bought into it a little bit more with our personal resources, which is our tax dollar, and a real commitment to the future that this is something that we would like to be able to tell the rest of the world forever is important to us. So although I've always been a little bit reluctant about how much we would put in here and how we would go about this, I actually am voting for this bill because I think it's probably we've left ourselves with a sense that there's nowhere else to go but to actually make a commitment towards this fund.
Further discussion on the bill? Further discussion. The chief clerk will call the roll. The question is, having been read three separate times, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Allman?
Aye.
Barrasso?
Aye.
Boggs?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
DeCaria?
Aye.
Geist?
No.
Haynes?
Aye.
Hawks?
No.
Hines?
No.
Jennings?
No.
Job?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer?
No.
Mockler?
Aye.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Northrup?
No.
Peck?
No.
Ross?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
No.
Vasey?
Aye.
Von Platern?
Aye.
President Larson?
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 22 ayes, 8 noes.
Senate File 41, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 41 has passed the Senate. Senate File 58, third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File 58, Prison Industries Program, Inmate Compensation, sponsored by the Judiciary Committee, and Act Relating to Prison Industries Program, be it enacted by the Legislature of the State of Wyoming.
Senate File 58 has an amendment. Reading clerk will read the amendment.
Senate File 58, third reading amendment number 1 to substitute bill number 1, page 3, line 16.
The Jennings Amendment, Senator Jennings.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move third reading amendment number 1 on Senate File 58 and ask for your favorable consideration and request to dispense with further reading. As you remember, last week this kind of hit home with me, and it was important that we work this out. And I'm very happy to report that between the Director of Corrections and participation from the Judiciary Committee and my colleague from Natrona County, I think we've come up with a very good solution. Basically, what we've done is, as an inmate is going through the system and comes to the medium or minimum security area, he's going to be presented with all the paperwork that he needs, and he's going to have the backing of the Corrections Department to fill out and get any court orders that the Corrections Department may require so that he can send money home to his wife and his children. We kicked this around quite a bit before we came up with the solution, and I believe that this is the solution. And I would ask you to vote favorably for this amendment and then pass the bill. As a side note, there was one family that was
that created this situation out in Natrona County, and I would like to commend the director for saying that he would process that account under the existing legislation and statutes. And beyond the vote, I would ask that my colleague from Riverton would continue what he was about to do before we got, I sidetracked us on what I thought was an important issue, because I do think it's important that we hear what he has to say about the mushroom farm and this correction facility. So once again, I would ask you a favorable vote for this bill, this amendment.
Further discussion on the amendment? Further discussion. All in favor of third reading amendment number one to Senate File 58, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The amendment is carried. Back on the bill. Further discussion on the bill. Senator Peck.
Mr. President, since invited to comment on the window mushroom operation, Wyoming is extraordinarily fortunate to have had this expert in this particular field have chosen Fremont County to and first construct, and many of the inmates at the Army Farm acquired construction skills during the process, and now in the operation of the Wyndham Mushrooms, it has a very wide range of skills that these people are able to apply their talents to, and I think it's also going to instill in them the work ethic. I think that the adoption of this amendment is going to restore the incentive to make them pick mushrooms like crazy, and if you read the why they're talking about producing over 100,000 pounds of mushrooms per week. And to do that, people got to get up in the morning and they got to work like crazy and get those mushrooms picked in the box and in the refrigerator or on the truck to California and maybe later to the Rocky Mountains. So I think we're fortunate to have an example of a winning prison industry program, and I commend to you the adoption of this bill.
Further discussion. Senate File 58, having been read three separate times, question is, shall the bill pass? The Chief Clerk, call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Allman?
Aye.
Barrasso?
Aye.
Boggs?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
Aye.
Coe?
Aye.
Cooper?
Aye.
DeCaria?
Aye.
Geis?
Aye.
Haynes?
Aye.
Hawks?
Aye.
Hines?
Aye.
Jennings?
Aye.
Job? Johnson?
Aye.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Mockler?
Aye.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Northrup?
Aye.
Peck?
Aye.
Ross?
Aye.
Schiffer?
Aye.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
Aye.
Townsend?
Aye.
Vasey?
Aye.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Larson?
Aye.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 30 ayes.
Having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 58 has passed the Senate. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate be in recess until 1:30 this afternoon.
Are there any announcements? Any announcements? Motion is that the Senate be in recess until 1:30. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. The Senate is in recess till 1:30.